Hello, this is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 41, and today we'll be talking about head lag in development. Before I get started on the topic for today, I wanted to remind you that the Community Resource Directory is up and running on my website now. If you haven't done so already, please go to mymidwesttherapy.com and check it out. All of you listening are part of a unique group of like-minded people. We're all interested in child development and special needs issues for our own reasons, but those reasons are all related. Now, we have a place where you can list your business or website or company information for everyone in our community to come and find you. This is our opportunity to finally start building that community together in one place. If you have a business or website related in some way to child development, special needs, or anything within that realm that can benefit parents of kids with special needs, or even adults who may need some services, go to my website and put your information out there for all of us. It's very easy to list your information and a very affordable way to advertise to all of the people in the Milestones Podcast community. It only costs $60 for 1 year. That breaks down to only $5 per month. You won't find a better price than that to advertise your business. If you're a therapist, doctor, clinic, ABA provider, toy or therapy equipment company, hospital, maybe a retired nurse who could provide respite care to a family in their area, or anyone else who has a business that somehow or some way relates to special needs or providing services to people with disabilities, please get on and sign up. Not only is this an easy way to advertise yourself and your business, but it is a way to help other listeners find resources that they can use. Parents, grandparents, and other therapists can get on the site and support your business by using your services or buying your products. Let's all support each other and build this community together. You will be able to post one or two images, plus give a description of your business or services and your contact information for people to find you. This is an excellent way for people to find services in their area and is an excellent opportunity for you to get your business out there for people to find. If you have an online company, this show reaches people all over the world. So there is a large audience listening to this show that will be able to easily find your business. If you are a listener looking for resources, check it out. Since it just started recently, there aren't too many resources listed yet, but keep checking back to find updates. Also, if you know of anyone who has a business that could go on here, let them know about the opportunity. They may appreciate the information so they can let people know about their business. Now, moving on to the topic for today, which is head lag in infants. Head lag is something we watch for in small infants. Therapists and doctors can test for this by helping the child move from a lying down on their back position to a sitting position. We do this by holding on to the baby's arms and gently pulling them up to a sitting position. You can tell if they still have head lag. And I'm saying H-E-A-D-L-A-G, head lag. If their head hangs back rather than staying up, and even with their body or shoulders area. The purpose of this test is to determine if the infant has any head control, and if so, how much do they have? Newborns have a complete head lag, which means they have no control over their head and neck at all. This is completely normal and expected for that age. Infants around 1 month of age should start to lift their head up when you start to pull them to sitting. As the baby grows and develops, over the next few months, the head lag should become less and less obvious until it eventually goes away completely. You should not see any more head lag by the time the baby is around 4 to 5 months of age. I'm not encouraging people to go out there and start trying this test on tiny babies, But if you take them in for regular well-check visits, you should see their pediatrician, hopefully, do this test with them. Keep an eye out for it during their visits around the 4-month time frame. If the head lag is gone or starting to go away, you will see the baby tense their arms and hold their head fairly steady or in line with their body. If the baby doesn't tense their arms and hold their head straight in line with their body during the test, then they might still be having head lag. Many doctors just go through their tests during these routine visits and check things off in their heads about how the baby did with each thing without telling you what they're seeing. Even if everything is normal in their eyes, they may not say anything to you. Don't be afraid to ask what they're checking for if you don't already know. And ask how they think the baby is doing with each of the things they're testing for. They're usually looking for things like reflexes, head lag, and other developmental clues, just to make sure everything looks good from their standpoint. Now, a fair time to check for head lag is around 4 months of age. By this time, you should see them keeping their head more in line with their body and less hanging back. Definitely by 5 months, I would expect the lagging behind of the head to be gone, and they should start to or already be actually lifting their head up to help you get them up to a sitting position also. If by 5 months of age you're still seeing the head lag going on, that would indicate a potential red flag for me in their development. And by that I mean that there may be something going on that is affecting their development. So let's talk about what some of those things might be. But before I do that, I would like to say that when I'm evaluating an infant's development, head lag is only one factor that I consider. If I see it going beyond the 5-month time range, most likely I'm seeing other developmental delays with that infant also. Just keep that in mind, that I'm specifically talking only about head lag for today's show, but there are probably other factors or indicators of delays in development or red flags in development also. As a parent, you may not have noticed these other factors yet, or you noticed but you really weren't worried about them. So just knowing about head lag and what to look for with that may help you decide if you should have concerns with not only the head lag, but maybe some of the other things the baby is or isn't doing. One of the possible reasons for head lag is weak neck muscles. Sometimes this is due to low muscle tone, also called hypotonia. Sometimes this is just due to the amount of time that an infant is held or placed on their backs, which means they are not giving enough opportunities to work on strengthening their head and neck muscles. This goes back to the tummy time issue, which you probably know by now that I really love to talk about. Babies need to spend more time on their tummies than they do as a general rule. Being placed on their tummy allows them time to practice lifting their head up off the ground. Even newborns in their first month of life are starting to do this. They're not good at it yet, but they're able to start lifting their head and working on those muscles getting stronger. Head lag is the reason we have to support babies' heads when they're first born, and while they're learning to hold their head up. They naturally strengthen those muscles and progress to holding their head more steady in sitting and tummy positions, so that by the time they're around 4 months old, their head should be fairly steady now in those positions. You shouldn't have to worry about supporting their head or watching to make sure it doesn't flop back anymore by that age. As I said, though, some babies have low muscle tone. This is different than just weak muscles due to not being placed on their tummy enough. Low muscle tone is a condition that doesn't change with time. There can be many reasons why a baby would have low muscle tone. Sometimes the reasons are due to a genetic disorder. The most common genetic syndrome is Down syndrome. But there are many more types of syndromes that can also have hypotonia as one of the symptoms. Sometimes the reasons for low muscle tone are neurological, due to some type of brain trauma or damage. Other reasons might be related to an infection like meningitis or sepsis. As kids with low muscle tone grow, they can become stronger and gain endurance with motor activities, beginning with lifting their head up, But the tone itself really doesn't change. When a baby has low muscle tone, you will see it throughout their whole body. They won't just have low tone in their head and neck area. Or at least if they do, it wouldn't be as common, let's just say. However, it is often the most obvious in their head and neck area, especially in the very early months of life. Babies that are born prematurely are at risk for having head lag as well. It is not a given that babies that are born early will have weak head and neck muscles. However, it is something that is fairly common to see. Babies that are born early take a little extra time to catch up to other babies their same age. So their head and neck muscles at 4 months of age may look like the head and neck muscle strength of a one-month-old baby, depending on how early they were born. Let's say a baby was born 2 months or 8 weeks before their due date. We adjust for this 2 months they missed in utero because that was 2 months they needed in order to continue growing and developing, but they missed it by being born early. So this means when the baby is 4 months old, it is really like they are only 2 months old. We subtract 2 months from their age because they were born 2 months early. So where at 4 months, we would normally no longer see head lag, for them, we might still see it. And I don't get too concerned with this because I would still be looking at them as if they were actually only 2 months old. So for this example, I would expect their head lag to be gone by the time they are actually 6 months old instead of four before I would get too concerned. Another factor that can go along with the babies being born early is that they often spend a lot of time in the NICU after they're born. And the NICU is the neonatal intensive care unit. One study showed a higher correlation of head lag in infants that had a longer NICU stay. I haven't read that full study, but I'm guessing it wasn't the NICU in itself. It was more likely the fact that those babies are either very weak from being born prematurely, or they are sick or have some other medical condition that is keeping them in the NICU longer, so they don't have a chance to start working on their head and neck muscle strength. Head lag could potentially be associated with sensory processing issues as well. If the infant has difficulty with processing where their head is in space, they may show head lag longer than expected due to delayed reactions or impaired reactions based on where their head is while moving through space. This could be affected by the vestibular or the proprioceptive areas or both. The vestibular area is how you determine which way is up based on where your head is in the world or in your space in the world. And proprioceptive is how you determine how much tension or force your muscles and tendons need to use in order to maintain body positions or posture. Vision may also play a role along with these sensory areas because vision can also help you determine which way is up and allow you to adjust your posture or head position based on what you're seeing. In more recent years, there has been some research out there that shows that there may be an association between head lag in infants and autism. I purposefully mention this after the other examples because I don't want people to hear this part first and then not hear the other ones, because autism is not the only time where we might see head lag, and I don't want that to get lost in the discussion just because I'm bringing up autism now after the other things. So don't let it scare you off, and don't discount it just because I say that head lag can be one red flag for having autism. When it comes to head lag and autism, you couldn't say that a child has autism because they are showing head lag beyond their expected age range. Autism is diagnosed based on many different factors, and actually, head lag is not even considered one of the diagnosing factors according to the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual. When we look at head lag with autism and with any of the other possible diagnoses or conditions for that matter, head lag is not going to be the only sign or symptom that there may be a developmental delay or neurological issue. It is only one of many possible red flags in development. I just want you to be aware that it is one easy milestone to be aware of. And if you see your child showing signs of continued head lag past 5 months, it would be a good idea to bring it up with their pediatrician. Like I said, in most cases, it won't be the only sign of potential delays, but it may be the first sign that could indicate to you that there may be more going on with your child's development that you didn't recognize before. Let me talk about the research study for today now. It is called Head Lag in Infants at Risk for Autism, a Preliminary Study. The study was posted in the American Journal of Occupational Therapy in 2012. The researchers looked at two different things for this study. The first thing they questioned was, is the presence of head lag in a pull-to-sit task associated with a diagnosis of autism in infants who are at high risk for autism? Infants were considered high risk if they had an older sibling who had already been diagnosed with autism. They're considered low risk if there was no family history of autism. The second question they tried to answer in the study was, do infants at high risk for autism demonstrate poor postural control more than infants at low risk? Postural control was measured using the pull-to-sit test, which is where you pull their arms gently and lift them up to sitting position like I talked about in the beginning. The study included two different samples of kids. The first sample were siblings of children with autism, and they studied them over a longer period of time, basically all the way through their 36-month or 3 years of life. The first sample of kids is where they are looking to see if kids who have an older sibling with an autism diagnosis were more likely to receive a diagnosis of autism by the age of 3. The researchers used the gross motor scale of the Mullen scales of early learning to rate head lag in the children. They also used the Autism Diagnostic Observation Scale, which is a play-based assessment for diagnosing autism. They also used their clinical judgment based on delays in social, language, and motor development skills. There were 40 kids in this first sample, and they were tested at ages 6 months, 14 months, 24, and 36 months for autism spectrum disorder symptoms. They were tested also at 6 months for head lag. It was determined that head lag was associated with autism spectrum disorders at 36 months, meaning more infants who received a diagnosis of autism at 36 months also had head lag at 6 months of age than infants who did not receive a diagnosis of autism at 36 months. Now, the second sample was a new group of siblings of children with autism compared with a low-risk group of infants who had no family history of autism. For this sample, they used only the information given from their 6-month doctor visit. This sample consisted of 20 siblings of children with autism and 21 infants with no family history of autism, or the infants who were low risk. Head lag was observed more frequently in children who had older siblings with autism than the low risk infants group. In fact, 75% of siblings of children with autism showed head lag at 6 months, whereas only 33% of the low-risk infants showed head lag at 6 months. This 33% may indicate that the low-risk group might have actually had some other developmental issues going on that were reported incorrectly to the researchers. That part is really unknown, but it is a question that the researchers were asking at the end. The study suggests that early developmental screening should include a pull-to-sit test for infants at 6 months of age, but that they should also assess or observe when the infant started babbling, how their fine motor and gross motor skills are, what their postural control is like, and assess their muscle tone and see if the infants have any atypical movements in their arms and legs. The screening should be considered for all infants at 6 months of age, but also for infants, especially in high-risk groups, or infants that have an older sibling with an autism diagnosis. This might help detect concerns in development earlier, and hopefully, if needed, get them started with early intervention services earlier than they would without these screenings. That's all for today. If you guys could please take a minute of your time and rate my show on iTunes, you could give the show hopefully a 5-star rating and just write a quick sentence for me in the comments. This will help get the show up on the list in iTunes higher so that more people will be able to find it and subscribe to it. This could also help build our community resources because we'll be reaching even more people. Thank you so much for listening.